Well, it's good to be here, isn't it? Thank you for that overwhelming response there. Thank you, Pastor Jack, for hosting this. And I know that you all have been in for a treat all day long, those of you that have been here listening to my brothers and sisters share their road on up. And I'm excited about what God's going to do in here tonight. Amen. Can you turn this down a little bit? Praise the Lord. There you go. Let's get a little text going here anyway, so somebody can't say I wasn't in the Bible. You know, people take shots at you when you start having a ministry that's affecting the world. Amen. You're world effectors. It's good to be here with Dad Callahan, amen. Praise the Lord. I think Pastor Jack just brings him in, make sure all of us going to stay right. I know he got something to say, though. John chapter 15. We're talking about being called and how God raises people up to be in the fivefold ministry. And, you know, I've seen a lot of goofy folk. Just met one in the airport on the way to Pennsylvania. Goofy as goofy could be. Pastor of the church right here in Georgetown. Just as goofy can be. And when he saw me, he thought, you know, he'd just come over and talk to me, and that somehow in talking to me that I was approving of his ministry. You know, a fool don't understand wisdom. See, a wise person can see a fool. A fool can't see wisdom because they're so caught up in their foolishness, right? And so I just told him, you know, are you going to stand in front of God one day and give an account for everything you're preaching? And, you know, that just went right over his head. You know, when we left, you know, he's spreading it around how, you know, I met Pastor Philip, you know, at the airport. It's a God thing, you know, God hooked us to, God has given him opportunity to repent. And it just went right over his head. So I've seen a lot of goofy folk, see, in ministry. And the Bible says many are called. Hi, Debbie, how you doing? It says many are called. Hey, Wendy. That's okay, isn't it? It's family here. It says many are called, right? Many are called, but few are chosen. You know, I got all these people come up to me, I'm called to God, wonderful, you're supposed to be. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, I feel like I got a call on my life. You do. But are you going to be chosen? I was never good off the bench. When I played basketball, I was never good off the bench, and the coach found that out in the first two games because he didn't start me. And, you know, just once I got in the game, you know, he found out real quick, man, we need to be starting him. After the second game, I never sat the bench again. And I've never been one to be on the sidelines watching the game play and be dressed out to play. I'm in this thing to be used by God. And if you allow God to use you, a young leg, when I say young leg, I'm talking about youngsters coming up in the Lord, came up to Reinhardt Bunke one day and asked him, he said, do you think God will ever use me? He said, son, he'll use you. He'll use you to death. And what he was talking about that, he wasn't talking about killing him. He talking about he'll use you and use you until you finally die to all the strength you got and learn what true grace is about and step over into his strength where you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. In John chapter 15, in verse number 16, has been my scripture that God gave me when he called me into the ministry. Now, he called me with an audible voice, but that wasn't good enough for me. I was sitting under a pastor that said, you can hear all them audible voices, but if you don't go by that book, then you're going to get goofy. And the last thing I wanted to be was goofy. Right? And so I'd heard God's audible voice say, Philip, I've called you to play at my feet on my stage. And, boy, I mean, you know, I was on a 2-day fast, the second day of a fast, first fast I'd ever been on, and it boomed throughout me. And I knew that I was called to God. But then I went to church, and Pastor Callahan, who I didn't yet know, like I know now, obviously, is preaching on, don't listen to voices. Listen to this voice. This is right after I heard that. So I went back to God, and I said, okay, God, you called me, but my pastor's saying that ain't good enough. I need something out of book. And he took me straight to this, God's faithful, see. And he took me to this verse in verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So that was real to me. It leaped off the page at me. I knew God was speaking to me because I knew the conversation that I just had with God. I knew how God took me to this scripture. I knew how, you know, that word will come alive to you if you let it. I mean, it'll be God speaking to you if you really press into God. I'm not into just reading the Bible. I'm into that thing, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, you know what I'm saying, where God's breathing into me and he's speaking to me. He's guiding me with that word, right? So once I knew I was called of God, and I'm talking mostly about the prophetic office tonight, the last thing I wanted to be was a prophet. I didn't even know that there was prophets. I was raised in a church that there was a pastor, and the ladies could teach Sunday school. And we had an evangelist come through that had to hang you over hell every summer. And besides that, there was no apostles and prophets. There was none. And so when I got saved, the last thing I'm going to be is goofy. I ain't going to be goofy. Because I realized out of 14 years of drug addiction, alcoholism, that Philip Derber's best got him locked up 20 times looking at 21 years in the penitentiary. I saw what Philip Derber's best could do. And I laid that all at Jesus' feet, not just the sin of that. I laid my life at his feet and said, look, if you can do anything with this, do it. And you see, look, folks, if you're a potential five-folder in here, then it ain't this little thing on the side. It ain't this little, you know, prestige, this little platform. It's advancing the kingdom. You're bought with a price. And there's a king over us that's governing this end time move of God. And we are in critical times. Folks, we are in critical times. I can't go there, but the prophetic office, I didn't understand it. And a lot of people want to be a prophet these days. You ever notice that? There's prophets everywhere. I'm a prophet. He's a prophet. She's a prophet. Everyone's a prophet. Everyone's a prophet. Oh man, did you go hear so and so? Man, they got they're prophet. They prophet, and people prophesying out in the parking lot. They prophesying in the back room. They prophesying. And you know, I had this one kid come to me, and he handed me a tape. I said, "What's this?" Back in the day, cassette tape. And I said, "What's this?" He said, "It's me prophesying." Was you in a service? No, I was prophesying at the house. I've been practicing. Yeah, I've been going to the school of the prophets. The school of the prophets. Yeah, they teach you how to prophesy. You get in front of the mirror and you learn how to prophesy. Anyone can prophesy. The Bible says anyone can prophesy. Yeah, the scripture says that, all right. So he hands me this tape, wants me to listen to it. I'm trying to help him out. I said, look, if you a prophet, which he wasn't, if you a prophet, won't you sit under a prophet's mantle? And if it's there, it'll come out. And then I didn't see him again. See, everybody wants to be a prophet. You don't want to be prophesying, saying, thus saith the Lord, and then stand in front of the Lord, and the Lord said, you said I said that? I didn't say that. You said I said that. See, it's a heavy responsibility. It's a heavy responsibility for a pastor to get up and say, this is the word in due season for you. Because that pastor going to stand up and say, you said that was a due season word for them people? I didn't say that was. See, and we got a lot of hirelings. We got a lot of bastard ministries. A lot of echoes in the land. And you got, you know, if you're not called in the fivefold ministry, you need to be able to discern the fivefold ministry, what is legitimate and what is not, right, in the days we're living in. So I stayed away from the prophet thing 8 years. I had people come up to me and tell me, you a prophet? No, I ain't. Ain't no prophet. 8 years. You know how most people, if somebody come up and said they were a prophet, you really think so? You really think so? Yeah, you a prophet. Oh, okay. No. Anyone that told me I was a prophet, no, I ain't no prophet. And it was 8 years, 1996, when a guest speaker came to our church and preached almost identically a message, acceleration, when the Lord told me, took me to heaven in that vision and told me that he was going to do everything in acceleration. I came back, I preached it to the church, guest speaker came in and preached acceleration almost word for word what I preached. And while he's preaching, I said, Lord, what is that? I just preached that, and this man come, and he said, I sent a prophet in to confirm the word of a prophet. First time I heard that. I said, Lord, you call me a prophet? So I went to Pastor Callahan. I went straight to Pastor Callahan. I told Pastor, I said, Pastor, can I share something with you? Of course, you know he is, yeah. I said, and I told him what happened. He said, Philip, I've known you a prophet, just couldn't nobody tell you nothing. God had to tell you. Like, that's the way I am. You know, I mean, not that nobody can tell me anything, but that's a pretty big step for me to say I am a prophet. Well, that was in 1996. I stand in front of you tonight. I am a prophet. You understand? I understand, you know, when you step over into that, because I don't want to be something that I'm not. You can't. You open yourself up to familiar spirits, blah, 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 blah. All right? Now, it says here, God chose that in this scripture. You didn't choose it. God chose it. He knows how to orchestrate things and get people in divine position for their calling. And you know what? You'll make mistakes. You make mistakes, but God's bigger than your mistake. Don't sit there and say, well, you know, God's bigger than my mistakes, so I'll just make mistakes. No, I don't want to make mistakes. I don't like making mistakes. I want to know that I know that I know that God is saying this and God is doing that. You know, I heard one prophet say, you know, you need to miss it in front of the people every now and then so they know that you're human. I thought to myself, if they don't know I'm human, I'm in front of the wrong crowd anyways. I don't want to miss it. I don't want something coming out of my mouth, somebody acting on that, and then they shipwreck and come back, and I say, well, now you know I'm human. No, this is stupid. See, we need accuracy in these last days. So, I got to say this, because this is how I came up. This is how I came up. Because there's a lot of craziness in the body of Christ these days, you know. And at the same time, this remnant church is rising up stronger and stronger and stronger than ever before. But there's, when you read the Bible, you'll see terminology, brethren, right? And so that's interpreted that everybody's brothers. See, we're brothers and sisters, right? Which is okay. Which is okay to a degree. But if we're just brothers and sisters, then that leaves out fathers and mothers. I'm going somewhere with this. Because just because you're called and God has chosen you don't mean squat if you're not being mentored by somebody that doesn't. Watch, is Pastor Callahan a prophet? He operates in all five gifts. Those of us that have been raised up under him, I believe every true apostle does. But he's not prophet. That's not his primary call, but he understands the office. Now watch this. I'm going somewhere with this because it's very important that you see it. In that world out there, when I say world, church world out there, there's this terminology of brethren. And so it eliminates the father. So it's just brother, right? Now let me explain this. Lee's my brother. Jack's my brother. Jim has done his thing again, and he's somewheres. He's my brother. We were talking about that earlier. Somebody's birthday or something. Sherry's my sister. We all were raised in the same crib. We fought over the same toys. Now watch this. Spiritually speaking, we're brothers. Spiritually speaking, but not in the ranking of God. This is my dad. Now I'm going somewheres with this because you need to see this. Because brothers, and when I say brothers, I'm including sisters. Brothers, if they get in an argument, we just go out back and fist fight. You understand? I'm using something physically. We just go out in the back and beat it out of each other. I'm talking about what brothers do, right? Of course, I can whoop them all. I can whoop them all together with one arm tied behind my back, blindfolded, feet shackled, a sucker in my mouth. But now watch this. Me and Jack are going to go out and settle this, right? I throw a punch, he throws a punch, and then when it's all done, we look at each other, we come back in and get an ice cream. You understand what I'm saying? Brothers do that. I'm talking about something. Now, when it comes to Dad, he throws a punch, ain't no punch going back. Are you following this? And see, as long as this is brotherhood, then there's no place anyone can speak into your life. It's all brother. So disrespect, dishonor, and because of that, nobody is being nurtured in their, when I say nobody, I'm talking about in that goofiness, is being nurtured and mentored and the greatness being pulled out of them, being fathered. You got, now I'm reliant on Jack, Pastor Jack, to y'all, Jack to me. Pastor Jack, to pull greatness out of me. I'm relying on Pastor Lee to pull greatness out of me. I'm relying on Pastor Sherry to pull greatness out of me, and they brothers and sisters. They can minister to that greatness, but they can't pull it out. They can challenge it. They can fire it up. It's going to come out of, and see, it's going to come out by the one that God has assigned over your life. To nurture that call and so on and so forth. And most people don't understand that. They're renegades. For instance, I'm bringing people into that church. Some of you, Buzz, you remember all that when we had that big old station wagon. Man, I mean, me and Alberta load that thing up and bring in three loads on Sunday. The old religious deacons didn't like the crowd we were bringing in, but we are bringing them in. And Pastor liked it. Pastor, we're getting these people saved. We're getting them healed. Lee was in on all that. And Jim was celebrating a birthday somewhere, but he ain't here, so we do this, right? I'll whoop him too, see. So what was I talking about? I was going somewhere with that. Oh, and so, watch this. I knew I was called. And so, when as a pastor, you like to have somebody in your church that's bringing folk in. Man, you keep that fire going. But you're not, a true pastor, a true father is not going to hold back. He's not going to sit there and just try to hold you down from where God has called you. Right? And so, Pastor calls me and Alberta up one day and says, I'd like to take you for breakfast. Good thing he said that, because he had to take us for breakfast. We ain't had no money. And he took us to breakfast, and, boy, I mean, I ordered everything on the menu, blueberry pancakes, the large stack patty, I mean, bless God, and three of those syrups. You got to, you know, Alberta always tell me too much syrup, but three of them syrup. But after we're done eating, Pastor looks at me and said, Philip, didn't you tell me that God showed you that you're going to Marshall Islands? I said, yeah. He said, what's stopping you? Now, wait a minute now. This is somebody's bringing in a whole bunch of folk to the church. And, well, maybe he's trying to get rid of me. Maybe that's what... Yeah, maybe they don't hear that. That wasn't the case. I knew it. I knew it because God was speaking to me. And I'm like, what? He said, what's stopping you? And he left me hanging right there. He didn't sit there and say, now, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get you a little airplane ticket out there. He took me there and let my relationship with God match what he just laid in front of me. He's pulling it out of me. And see, if you don't have somebody there that's speaking these things, not laying out every little detail for you, but he said, what's stopping you? So now I leave that breakfast full of blueberry pancakes, and I got to go lay on my face and find out what's stopping me. Next thing you know, me and Alberta, in 6 months later, we're in the Marshall Islands, right? So when we come back from the Marshall Islands, I ain't no pastor. No. I'm an evangelist. Well, Pastor Callahan wants to start a church in Frankfurt. So he sends me and Lee up there to work the streets, so on and so forth. And 22 years later, I'm still there, see? But watch this. I had no passion for Frankfurt. I had no heart for Frankfurt. It's my home now. But this man, you say, well, all you preaching about is this man. That's right. I want you to see something. Because this ought to be the stair step of how calls develop and are mentored and are nourished. I just got out of a meeting with Dr. Barclay, and he was talking along the same lines, how he was fathered by John Osteen, and how important that was for him coming up through the ranks. And I'm thinking to myself, thank you, Jesus, that I've had that from day one. And when you try to tell people that, they think you're trying to control them. They think that you're trying to manipulate them. They think you're trying to hold them down, so on and so forth. And they won't. God's the one that orchestrated this. God's the one that put these rankings in the body of Christ for your protection so you won't get goofy. So can we come back from the islands? Pastor sends us up to Frankfurt. Me and Lee's up there working the streets. Next thing I know, I'm pastoring a church. And come to find out later that Pastor Callahan told me, he said, it was my full intention that you pastored that church. Well, you never told me that. Good thing you didn't tell me that. See, he's smarter than I am. But I love Frankfurt. I love what I do. But now watch this. Now I got inside me this call. I want to go beyond Frankfurt. There's something, I know I'm called to Frankfurt, but within the call, there's something beyond Frankfurt in me. But I don't know how to get there. See, that's the thing. You got something in you, but you don't know how to get there to it. And you need somebody that's already there, that's already got from where they were to there, that can help get you there. Now, are you following this? I remember when I got saved, and you know, people all around me saying, it's obvious you got a call of God on your life. And I don't know how they could tell that, but so they said you need to go to Bible college. Well, I wasn't going to go to Asbury College because I was raised there, and I sold drugs to the students up there, and I knew what was going on up there, so I figured I better get out of town, and I found out about Rhema. And I picked up the phone to call there, and the Lord said, you ain't going there. I said, yeah, I am. I'm going to go there. No, you're not going there. And that phone rang and rang and rang. Nobody ever answered it. Oh, you want me to go ORU? You ain't going there. Why? They'll mess you up. Now, this is for me. Not for you, somebody else. You've got to send them there. For me, they'll mess you up. That messed me up. We were over at Pastor Jack and Patty's house having a meeting, and I was really upset about this because I got something inside me. And now I'm backing up before we went to the islands and all that. No, this is, I think, maybe when we came back from the islands. We were having a core meeting over at Charles' house. I went, all you guys were in the kitchen getting refreshments and stuff, and me and Pastor Callahan walked in the living room, and he, listen. He sat me down. He said, what's wrong? Now, nobody else knew there was anything wrong. Everyone else was laughing and carrying on. I'm jumping in like there ain't nothing wrong. He knew something's wrong. He said, what's wrong? I said, well, here's what's wrong. God won't let me go to Rhema. He won't let me go to ORU. And I need to go to Bible college to learn how to preach. And God says, I can't go to Bible college. Now, you got to understand, this man been through Bible college, taught in Bible college, has his own Bible college. And so he's all about Bible college because he knows the good stuff that you can learn in Bible college. He said this to me. I shared this with you the other night, Robert. He said, Philip, I don't understand why God's telling you not to go to Bible college, but I'll tell you this. I'll teach you everything I know. Oh, man, are you kidding me? Before the island? Are you kidding me? Now, that didn't mean I was knocking on his door. No, what that meant is I got ears to hear. I didn't demand his time. I didn't demand superior access to his life. What it meant was what he got inside of him, he's going to release it to me if I'll show up. It wasn't, I'm going to give you a special, you know, me and you going to go to Gatlinburg for 6 months together and I'm going to lay hands on none of that. Just sit under this, and I'm going to teach you. Now, there was things off to the side that he'd say to me, and it would trigger something. So now I'm pastoring. Let's go back, fast forward again. Now I'm pastoring up here, and I got this inside me about wanting to get out. And I don't know how to get out. See, I'm telling you, there's people sitting in here right now that you got a legitimate call on your life, and you don't know how to get out, or you've tried to get out. You know, you printed up the flyers and all that. You know, you had this big, long, end-time miracle signs and wonders ministry. And you sent it out everywhere, and you ain't gone nowhere. Don't ask me how I know. And I don't know how to get out there. And I'm pastoring, and all of a sudden phone rings one day. It's Pastor Callahan. He said, Philip, he said, I just got a call from a preacher in Kansas. I said, yeah. He said, they want to learn faith. I said, okay. He said, I want you to go out there. Man, I felt like, are you kidding? Divine purpose. Right? That one phone call, and the phone ain't never stopped since. I have to turn away places to go preach now. I'm telling you. But it, look, if I rely on me to get me going, well, are you saying that it takes another man in your life to go somewhere? Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. And most people can't handle that because there have been certain men that have used or abused people and so on and so forth. So they just threw everything away. When God still got the legitimate, God still got the real. I mean, look, 27 years together. Come on. And we still like each other. No, really. You know what I'm saying? Well, covenant, right? By faith. No. If any of them called me and said, Pastor Phil, we got this, what, all the resources, all the power, everything that I have within my life is at their disposal to help them get through. That's the kind of relationship we have here. Come on now. And so you don't find that in the church world. You got people pushing and shoving, just like out in the world, trying to get above that person, trying to use that person, getting good with this one and do that. You know, I remember one preacher years ago said, Philip, you ain't going no worse. Told me that. He come in, he told me, he said, I got to talk to you. I said, what? He said, you ain't going no worse. Man, I heard you preach. You way bigger than that little church you pastor, and you need to get out there. I said, well, I'll get out there. He said, no, you got to get out there and rub elbows. You got to have associations. I said, I got association. I said, my association is with him. And when he opens the doors, I'm gone. And he's going to do that by me staying, you understand, me staying in divine order. And he's like, well, his ministry went crazy. Divorce, lost everything, blah, blah, blah. Now, he's rebounded out of that, praise God, and so on and so forth. But while he went down, Philip went up. Are you following what I'm saying? Because God, and listen, everything's being done in acceleration. So the prophetic thing starts operating. Way back in the Alpha House days, me and Leeds start prophesying over people. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what we were doing. We'll use Sherry for an example. You know, we'd start praying for her, and all of a sudden, you know, as I'd be praying for her, I'd see these things. Like, you know, what's wrong with your chest? I'd see that, and how we'd do it, though, we'd just be praying, and Lord, just touch your chest. And afterwards, they'd say, how'd you know anything was wrong with her chest? Well, you know, and we started learning that way. Me and Lee together, we started learning, and then we got a little bold, you know, with a little bit of now and then. We got a little bold, and all of a sudden, you know, the prophetic started kicking. I didn't know what it was, really. And I'd start seeing things. Now listen, see, if you have a tendency to be goofy, you're going to get it right here. This is going to be your avenue to go full-time goofy right here. But Pastor Callahan asked me to preach one night in his church. And as I was preaching, I didn't know what's going on. The whole congregation, all their faces blurred out except one. And it was one young lady, and she sat in the back, and all of a sudden I couldn't see nobody's face. And it's all blurred out except that one. And the Lord said, you see that one? I said, that's the only one I can see. I'm preaching while this is going on. See, it don't take God long to get his point across. And he said, she's a witch. I said, a witch? I said, Lord have mercy. What's going on here? Yeah, she's a witch. I said, Jesus, Lord. So, you know, once that was done, all the faces came back in. Well, to make a long story short, she was a witch. And Pastor Callahan and got wind of it and blah blah blah. And I went to him and said, "You know you got a witch in your church?" And he says, "Yes, Philip," and told me who she was before I could say anything. So he was already on top of this thing, and I'm starting to learn these things, see? And so these things started happening. But I'm not a prophet. It's just, you know, okay, learning stuff. And listen, you don't have to have all these kinds of manifestations that say you are a prophet or you are a teacher, you are a pastor. There's different administrations, different operations, so on and so forth. But I believe if you got a fivefold call of God on your life, that the gifts are going to kick in there somewhere along the line. I mean, you know, there's going to be some kind of evidence that God has called you. And so me and Lee down there at the Alva House, we started learning how to prophesy. And the accuracy was astounding. But yet I'm not a prophet, because I know that anyone can prophesy. So that doesn't make you a prophet. Where I had one guy tell me he was a prophet. He said, "I'm a prophet and Pastor Callahan don't appreciate my gift." Now, you better be careful when you get this attitude that the pastor don't appreciate your gift, don't recognize your gifting. And so he come down to the Alva House. I had a Bible study down there, you know, and several of y'all came down to that thing. And he's down there, and, you know, he'd want to show his spirituality by prophesying. And so, and boy, he must have been to the school of prophets, because he knew how to, "Thus saith the Lord," you know, and so on and so forth. And he'd prophesy, but it was flat. When he prophesied, it was flat. It sounded good, but it didn't hit your spirit right. And, you know, he prophesied in Pastor Callahan's church. I'm looking at Pastor. I'm going to learn here. See, I'm going to learn this. And Pastor, you know, we church over 1,000 people, you know. Pastor's up there. You know, Pastor's, "What about a little bit?" You know, that real low motor tongue. You know what I'm talking about? I'm watching this thing. You don't do nothing. So, you know, I'm curious. Curious minds want to know. So I went up to the pastor. And I said, "Pastor, you know a guy prophesied?" "Yeah." "What do you think about that?" "Nothing." "Nothing?" "Yeah, Philip, ignore it. You'll have that kind of stuff." "Ignore it?" "Yeah. It'll fade away." I said, "Okay." So this guy, it didn't fade away at the Alva House. He got more bolder. He prophesying away. I'm thinking, "This ain't gonna fade away. I know how to fade something away." Ignore it. So he wants me and Alberta to come over to, and he wants to fix us a meal. Back in those days, anytime we get a meal, we gonna take it. I miss God on this one. We get over to now. See, you gotta be real careful, because when people see something on you, they think if they can latch on you, they can latch on. See. They're looking for a way. They don't care about you. And so we get over there, and, you know, he's in the kitchen doing this, you know. And boy, when we walked in, I mean, it ain't right. It just ain't right. From the time we got there, it ain't right. And so he's cooking this, he's cooking that, getting all this going. And, you know, I'm not one of these people. I struggle with just, "How's the weather?" You know, "Oh yeah, unless the weather is, you know, just something in the flow, you know, I just can't do any, what do they call that, small talk? I ain't there. My wife will tell you, I'm a very quiet person. This is my voice is my job. And so I'm very quiet. I mean, I can shut down and just all day. Doesn't bother me a bit. And so he's, you know, we're going through all this and I'm struggling. And he said, Pastor Callahan don't like me. I said, what makes you say that? He don't let me do nothing in the church. See, watch this. You got people that want to do things in the church. Well, you should have a want to serve. If you are legitimately born again, you should have a want to serve. But a lot of people have a want to be seen. Somehow being seen fills their little head up with something that's going to make them goofy in the long run. Now, I tell you what, just like where Ironheart Monkey told that young boy, God will use you to death. Come on now. I ain't stopped in 20 plus years. Been cranking. And he said, Pastor Callahan don't like me. I said, no, what makes you say that? He likes everybody. Now, he don't like me. Well, why? He don't let me on the worship team. And boy, here come his list. And you know, look, folks, you can talk about me, and many have. You can talk about Pastor Jack, many have. Talk about Pastor Lee, Pastor Sherry, many have. And that really don't bother us much. But when you start talking about Dad, and you don't know him, there's something. It's like I remember I broke a kid's jaw in school because he said something bad about my mama. See? It didn't do that with my sisters. But when he says something about my mama, something, are you following? Yeah, y'all know what he said, right? And so, I said, he's not like that. And I started telling him, why don't you just calm down and let that gift, so, and boy, here it come. Blankety blank, blank, blankety blank, blank. Now, this is the one that's prophesying. Thus saith the Lord. Blankety blank, thus saith the Lord. Blankety blank, 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 thus saith the Lord. Come on now. I'm hearing this mess come out, and I'm like, okay. And Alberta's looking at me like, let's get out of here. I said, let's eat first. Right? Right? Let's And he ended up being goofy. He left the church, you know, goofy. And so on and so forth. So, let me add another scripture to this. Proverbs. You guys all right? Is this helping anybody at all? So it was Pastor that helped me get past the Bible college thing. It was a pastor that got me to the mission field. It was pastor that got me to my pastorate. It was pastor that got me out in the field ministry. Well, that would have happened anyway. Well, it might have happened anyways, but it wouldn't be the success level that it's at. And I don't know that it would have happened. You know? Because there's things that, you know, I'll tell you what, I was being stretched one day up here in Frankfort, and the phone rings. It's Pastor Callahan. And I said, hi, Pastor. He said, what's wrong, Philip? I said, what's wrong? Everything's good. He said, no, what's wrong? I said, everything's good, Pastor. I mean, you know, some new families come in and so on and so forth. He said, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about you. I said, well, Pastor, I've been running pretty hard, you know, in my prayer life and word life. It seems like I'm scraping to keep it up. Now, it's a good thing I said that, because he's given me opportunity to say what he already knows. Now, I'm telling you, if you're going to be fathered, if you're going to be mentored, it ain't time to be trying to... I was a con. I was a thief. And then to be a good thief, you got to be a liar. See? I mean, it's hard to be a thief and not lie. Did you take that? Yeah, I took it. No. You ain't going to get very far as a thief, see? You gotta lie. And he said, I was praying this morning. And the Lord showed me that. Now tell me your schedule. Because he knows I gets up. That's what you call that, right? I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, pray, and so on and so forth. And he knows that. And he said, what's your schedule like lately? I told him. He said, no, we ain't doing that. He didn't say it like that. He said, no, Philip, you need to not go into the office till noon. I want you to stay at your house till noon, then go in the office and do everything. And I said this because this is the way we operate. I don't know how he handles the rest of his kids. This is how he handles me, and I know him. I said, Pastor, are you asking me to do that or telling me to do that? Because if he's asking me, I got too much stuff cranking. He said, no, Philip, I'm telling you to do it. Done deal. Told the office you won't see me till noon. Changed my life. Now the office don't see me, period. Come on now. Changed my life. Because I had somebody that cared enough, that was praying over me, that understood there's something going on. And now see, if I don't listen to that, well, are you trying to control my life? I got my own ministry. I'm my own man. Okay. Your own ministry, your own man. You're going to end up goofy. I'm in the brothers. Here you are, brother. Without your spiritual father, and you're sitting there flip-flopping out there, and you're going to join the other brothers that are flip-flopping out there, and before you know it, can't nobody pull the greatness out of your life. So you're trying to speak to each other and pull greatness out of each other, and you can't do it because you ain't there at that dimension, spiritually speaking, to pull that. God designed the body of Christ that we need each other, period. And that's a safety net. Hallelujah. So can't nobody sit there and say, I did it my way. Come on. And so, Proverbs chapter 3. I began prophesying. And as I began prophesying, I started realizing that I was seeing things as I would prophesy. Now, here again, Dad Callahan comes up to church. This has been, probably 10 years ago, and we had a Holy Ghost meeting. I mean a Holy Ghost meeting. And I mean people are being healed, and I'm prophesying. I mean prophesying. Pastor just stood back and let me go with this thing, and then he'd step up, and all of a sudden a prophecy come out of him. And when Pastor prophesied, you know he's in something. And so this was going on, and I was seeing for miles. I'll never forget this. See, it marked me. And I was singing for miles. But pastor was standing right here beside me. I can tell you, I can take you to the spot on our platform where we were. And I said, Pastor, I'm singing for miles, but I don't know what to do. He said, then don't do nothing. I mean, I'm seeing. When I say seeing, I mean I could look at somebody and just, but I'm not getting anything. It's like the valve was shut off, but my eyes are still seeing. He said, let it go. Well, I shut it down. We went and had fellowship, and that stuck with me because then he told me later on, if you move into that, now you're going in a place where you're trying to make things happen. And now you're straining instead of letting. Are you following? He didn't say exactly in those words, but that's how I understood it. Folks, look, don't tell me what to do. I'm seeing. No, tell me what to do. We're all learning in this thing. Come on now. I'm raising up my kids, not just to flow in the gifts, but to flow in the Spirit. Last night in our church, we're in the middle of praise and worship. Lord says there's three people got a word. Well, all right, praise the Lord. So I just waited. Here come one. I'm just waiting, and then I'm just going to help my people out because you know they don't want to be out of order. I said, the Lord says there's two more. Now, I'm not trying to make something happen. I'm trying to let something happen. I'm trying to let the gift that's in them have the freedom. And you know, they're right at the verge of jumping off that diving board, but they don't know if it is or if it ain't. Are you following what I'm saying? That's the kind of help. Why? Because I know that. I know that atmosphere well. If there's one realm I know is that area of prophecy. I know that realm. I prophesy at my house. I prophesy. You know, the band came in the other day. We were sitting there getting ready to practice, and the spirit of prophecy comes on me. I'm not fasting. I'm not worshiping the Lord for 2 hours. It's just I know that realm. I know it well, and I want to help others, not so we can have a Corinthian church where we're all flowing in the gifts or nothing. Just whatever God wants to do and help people get through that. Because, all right, has anybody ever been in a place and prophecy, somebody began to prophesy, and it helped you at that moment get through that season? Raise your hand if that's ever happened. See? And the Bible says, despise not prophesying, right? Okay, let me close this out here. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 is how me and Alberta started our life. We came across this verse out at the farm. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your call. Your path, your call, your destiny, right? So you got to get this thinker out of the way, and you got to let God establish your thoughts. Lean not to your own understanding. Now look, I'm not going. It's not going to fall in your lap if you're not a doer of the word. Your destiny, you can locate your destiny, you can discover your destiny, you can know what God's plan is for your life, and if you don't do it by the book, see, you can have a car that you're going to, where everyone's done this, you bought something at Walmart and you took it home to assemble it and you didn't go by the book. And because you didn't go by the book, you had parts left over that you thought were insignificant until you got using the thing, you realize, well, wait a minute. That must be what that was for, right? Now you had to take it all apart again and get the directions out and do it right to get the thing working right, right? Same thing. You can find out what you're called to do. You can discover it, but if you're leaving parts out and don't go by the book, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to function right for you, right? So I said all that to say this. I am what I am today, and I'm not saying I've arrived, by no means. But I am what I am today because I sit under my pastor, I study the Word, I have a prayer life, I fast a lot, and I sow seed to those that are above me to keep moving in the realm in which I want to go. Those five things. We were just in Florida. We sowed a significant seed. We were just in Gatlinburg, sowed another significant seed. We're here tonight. I got in my pocket my partnership with my pastor. Let me get that out. Matter of fact, while I'm thinking about it. And this is how, there you go, Pastor. This is how we keep moving and increasing.
Well, they just in a money thing.
All right. Go your way, hard head. And when we all get to heaven, and you see where you veered off course when somebody tried to get through your thick head, how this thing operates, it operates through Bible, prayer, being under your pastor, fasting, and see, Jesus said, alms, prayer, fasting, I'll reward you openly. He ain't talking about just, you know, you get in your house. He talking about your ministry, what you call a house. That's wonderful. That's a marvelous thing. We need them. Good ones. Plenty of them. But the house of God, you can have the best house up on the hill, driving the fanciest car in town, and be unfulfilled because your destiny is not being makabashara bakata. Your destiny is not being unleashed. Stand up. What's your name? Where are you from? Bowling Green. How old are you? 33. That's how old Jesus was when he got cranking. What brought you up here? Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I was over there, the Lord pointed you out to me. Isn't that something? Every word nailed you. Well, good. We're going to nail it a little further. Is that all right? You got some friends here? He brought you in here tonight? Have you been? Is this the first meeting you've been in? Wonderful. Wonderful. From Bowling Green. You love Jesus with all your heart? You Kentucky boy? Yeah. You know about the Holy Ghost? What do you know about him? Good, lift your hands to in the name of Jesus. Father, the call of God, everything you placed in this young man, you brought him all the way from Bowling Green up here. Lord God, you've been speaking into his life, and you pointed him out to me that anointing that's inside of him will start activating now. Power on you in Jesus' name. Now, that's a demonstration. No. Listen, I'm going to teach you something here. I looked over there, and the Lord says, you see him. I don't know nothing about him. Yes, I see him. Walk over there to him. I know nothing. I know nothing at the time. This is faith. I'm searching inside. What's up? When I get over there to him, I have him stand up. That's faith. I still know nothing. And I start talking to him. I know nothing. watch this. And then all of a sudden, see, the connection's made. All of a sudden, I know. I teach my people. I said, when you work in miracles, you know, when you call somebody out, you might not know somebody. God just show you somebody. And you, like this lady right here. Come here. And you don't know everything. You just know when God's showing you something. How you doing, sister? Good, 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 good. God wants to touch your body. Is that all right? Is that all right? He's going to strengthen you. Yep, those weak areas. In the name of Jesus. Uh-huh. No more struggle. The healing power of God's coming on you now. In the name of Jesus, I speak to every weak area of your body. Strength! Jesus' mighty name. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. So anyways, in working of miracles and moving out like this, you don't know everything. This is how the gift works in me. I just see somebody, and the Lord says, you see that person like that lady right there. I just look back there, you in the purple. Out here. Lift your hands to heaven. Power! In Jesus' name. And so, you know, I just follow that. And as I follow that, then the power shows up. See, that's another thing. You won't be out there and not have the goods. You won't be out there with this big gift. The Bible says, he that boasts of this gift and ain't got it is like a cloud without the rain. You're sitting there just, and then you can't deliver. Now, I'm talking about, well, it's God. I know it's God. If there's anybody in this place that knows that right there is God moving through me, it's me. I understand how it operates. I understand how it flows. God's going to take every disappointment and turn that thing around. Yep. Determination, stick-a-to-ity is going to pay off, brother. Yep. Though your beginning was small, your latter end is going to be greatly increased. Maka basata. Power on you in Jesus' name. Lord, have mercy. It's crazy in here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But anyways, you trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct. He'll direct your path. Folks, get this Lone Ranger mentality out of your head. Get it out of your head. Now listen, my time's up. Listen to this. Pastor Callahan called me in his office one day. This was years ago, probably 18 years ago, I'd guess. Nobody in his office. He said, Philip, I want to see you in my office. Okay. And you know, I went in there, and he stood up from behind his head. Now, when Pastor Callahan, he stood up. He said, I give you free liberty wherever you go to represent this ministry. And whatever you say, I'll back it up. Ooh-wee. That's some heavy-duty stuff, Sherry. I'm thinking, but he wasn't done. And he said, but you better be right. Amen. Somebody give God a good praise.